wonderful. So just getting started, if you remember last year, at the start of last year, we had a word for the year before everything went, you know, south. And the word was refresh. We really sensed that God was saying to us as a church, it is time to refresh. As Kelsey and I came into this role in an interim capacity initially, it was very much with a sense of, well, we're just going to come there and we'll just be with the church for a little bit and we'll sort of help usher them into the next season and then we'll get back to life as we know it. And God had other plans. And so across that time, the church was navigating some challenging spaces over the last 2 years. There have been some times that have been difficult, but it was this sense of refresh. What we didn't know was that the whole world was going to be Control-Alt-Deleted and restarted because we're going to get shut down because of the coronavirus. Different kind of refresh than I certainly had in mind. Then this year, the word that we sense for this year is the word prepare. That God is instilling in our hearts and our minds as a church to be prepared. Now, what exactly is he preparing us for? I don't have all the answers. I've realized through last year, don't get too attached to exactly what something looks like. Just get an understanding of what God is stirring in your heart. Major on the main things and minor on the not so major things. So as we come to this time of looking at a vision till 2030, you may go, 2030? I don't know if we're going to have masks next week, let alone if it's going to be like what's happening in 2030. What we're talking about as we think about where the church is going and where God is guiding us into the future is just a basic framework on which everything will be hung across that time. It helps to provide a bit of a sense of purpose and direction. And this is something that we as a church have been working on over most of last year. So the board was working through this significantly. We had times when we asked people to give their feedback and their thoughts and ideas of what does it actually mean to be Austin Cove in this time? I have a little look around at the moment, look around the room. It's probably good we're looking around now and not when the service started because it was looking a little bit, you know, sparse when we started, shall we say. This is who God has called to lead this church into the future. People will come and people will go. That's what actually happens in the life of the church. But as we set out from this place today, God has stirred in this church a heart and a passion for this community and abroad. And at the very heart of all this church has done from the very first day until this day and hopefully on into the future is this scripture right here. Matthew 28, 19 to 20 says this. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This passage is used around the world. It's used in every single church. Because actually the global church's mission, the global church's purpose, the reason the global church exists is exactly the same in every single place. That this is the mandate that Jesus gave to his church. So every single church in the world, this passage is entirely relevant. Go and make disciples. It's a universal mission. It's a universal expression. But each local church has a way of doing things. Have you ever actually been to another church? Anyone ever been to another church? You can admit this to your heart. It's okay. You can go to other churches. I've been to lots of churches. Not one of them has been the same. Now, okay, growing up, I went to Church of Christ. Don't stone me. I was in a different denomination growing up. And generally speaking, if you went from one Church of Christ to the other, there were elements that were the same. But really across the board, every single church was different. So what does that look like for us? How do we kind of own that as a church? Well, what that actually means is we don't want to pretend that that's not true. What we want to do as a church is embrace the reality that we are this church. We don't have to try and be another church. We don't have to copy or pretend or do anything of that kind. What we have to do as a church is be God's church for this place, for this time, for this people. And what churches in Pinjarra and what churches in Mandurah and what churches, if there might be churches in the future in Austin Lakes or in South Yundarup, may God be glorified by there being more churches in and through this space with different ways and different approaches and different expressions of how they bring about the global mission that God would have. But what we're wanting to do over these next few weeks, what we're wanting to unpack, what hopefully that booklet that you will have received is aiming to express, is there is an Austin Cove way. There's a way that we go about doing things. Some of it's tied to the way we have done things, and some of it's tied to the way that we will do things. We bring stuff from our past into our present, but we don't bring everything as we look to move forward in the direction that God wants to take us. And so what we're going to do over these next few weeks is really look to express as a church, what is the Austin Cove way? And as we're doing this, it's actually really important to not necessarily compare and contrast. Well, that we do this and other churches do that, because the reality is we're not trying to be what any other church is. We're trying to be our church. And actually what happens? There have been people that have left this church. Sorry, hang on. Is this not everyone who's ever been? No, there's been people who have come and gone across these last 9 years. For a season, they've called this church home. And then a season has come when it's been time for them to call another church home. It's actually not a problem. They're still part of the global church. What's different? The difference is, for whatever reason, in this season in their life, the Austin Cove way is not the way that God would have them to live and breathe and learn to follow him. And so as a church, all I'm worried about is making sure that we find people and connect with people and love people and help them to learn and to grow and to seek to have a clarity around why we do things the way we do them. And we will have people come and we'll have people go. And we will bless them as they come in and we'll bless them as they go out. And we will continue to be about the passion and the heart that Jesus has for his church in and through this place. So we're celebrating 9 years. This church has built a really good foundation. We have some really, really solid people who are a part of this church. And I am absolutely convinced that we have really solid foundations to build upon. You might sort of say, 9 years, that's like a long time. There are churches in the world today that are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years old. In the reality of time, 9 years is a blip on the radar. We've used 9 years to set some stakes into the ground. We've had 9 years to sort of have a sense of, you know, this church is not actually going anywhere. Right? This church is actually going to hang around. This church is going to exist moving forward. But we haven't got the fullness of what God is looking to build. So we're celebrating 9 years. We're celebrating a foundation. Sarah and Kyle did a phenomenal job birthing this church into existence through the power of Jesus Christ and with the willing hands of many people who have come alongside. But it's a foundation. Now it's time to move forward and to build the structures, to build the systems, to build the feedback and all those different things that are going on to help take us into the future. This was the bedrock of that foundation. This won't be new to you, these three words. Love God, love each other, love our community. That's the bedrock of the foundation of this church. We want to love God. We want to be passionate about our expression of love for God. We want to love each other. We want to know how people are going. We don't just want to bump into each other on a Sunday and that's all we see. We want to love each other. We want to get to know each other. We want to journey together with each other. And we don't want to just do church. We want to love our community. That's at the very heart and the foundation of what we have been as a church, and that continues on in our new expression. We have new ways of expressing it. We won't necessarily be using that phrase in that order, in that way as we move forward, but the heart and the essence of those three words are at the very heart of what we do as a church. It would be ridiculous not to acknowledge that we are not the church that we were even just a few years ago. Numbers is not actually what's important, but the reality is everyone looks around and goes, you know what, in 2018, we were averaging about 80 people a week. In 2018, we were averaging about 80 people a week in the life of our church. We currently get somewhere between 25 and 40. That's fairly significant. And I actually want to acknowledge with you right now that you're allowed to feel that. You're actually allowed to feel disappointed by that. You're allowed to feel sad. You know the people who are no longer here. You know the people. You love the people who are no longer here. And we will not move forward as a church by pretending that we're not where we are. We won't move forward as a church without acknowledging and recognizing that actually these last couple of years, it's been some loss. It's been some good friends that are no longer worshiping in this church. It's been some lows. But God isn't finished with this church yet. So he sets before us, he sets before this group of people and says, have I finished? Am I done? No, I'm not. Let's go. Let's go. So what's next? Where do we go from here? Across last year, we met and we discovered and explored as a board. And as I said, we led through it with the church. And this is what we've landed on. This is what we believe. It's a statement. It's a story. This is not a bumper sticker. This is not something that I expect you to memorize per se. Over time, you'll probably pick up bits and pieces of it and you'll get the gist of the idea. But we want this to be the framework that really helps define for us as a church what we're about, what we say yes to, what we say no to, and how we make sure that we're not just going through the motions. Our vision story is this. Between now and 2030, we will advance the kingdom of God. We're not just going to sit here and just sort of, you know, rest on our laurels. We will advance the kingdom of God by engaging people throughout the Shire of Murray, that's our local focus, the broader Peel region, and to the ends of the earth. Shire of Murray, the broader Peel region, the ends of the earth. Obviously, South Yundarup sits within that Shire of Murray space. And we recognize that that's a significant part of what we want to do. We're going to encourage them to encounter God in transformative ways. We're going to encounter God in transformative ways. And we're going to equip them to be sent as devoted followers of Jesus into the world. Engage, encounter, equip. If that's all you remember from that, maybe we'll, you know, go with that, which would be great. And maybe if I can get a handheld, that's going to get annoying after a while. What's our mission? So vision is the sort of big picture. That's kind of the, you know, you're sort of looking at where you're going for. When you're driving in the car, you've got vision. You can see where you're going. Your mission is the fact you're actually going somewhere. It's how you get there. You're in a car. You're driving in that direction. So our mission as a church is journeying with people. Do we have a handheld or is that not possible? That's right, yeah. We'll use that one.
Works. Let me just there, and that should be fine there. I'll just use that one. All right. Where were we? Journeying with people, E, towards Jesus. I've edited these slides very carefully. Journeying with people towards Jesus. It's the heart of what we want to be about. We journey with people. I don't know if you've ever, you know, been good friends with people. I'm sure you have been. People don't go in a straight line. Like, it's not the way life works. If you think life's going to be a straight line, I'm sorry if I'm the one to pop that bubble. That's not the reality. It's a journey. So we like to have nice and neat, tidy, you know, structures and systems and functions and the way we do things. I want to fully acknowledge right now that I'm a very structured person. I like structure because it helps me come back to things when things go in a different direction, because they do. We want to journey with people. And this is a time thing. It doesn't happen A plus B equals C. People meander all over the place. I wonder if you can remember back to when you were exploring faith. Maybe you're here today and you're actually exploring faith right now. And it probably wasn't just a straightforward, this happened, then this happened, this happened. Then I was, yeah, I follow Jesus. It was lots of questions, lots of wrestling, lots of uncertainty, lots of, all right, what do we do with this? Where do we go with this? We journey with people towards Jesus. Our heart is to meet people where they are on their journey in both life and faith. And then step by step, we walk with them towards Jesus. We just help them take a step. And sometimes a step, so Jesus is there. Sometimes a step forward is this. It may not be directly towards Jesus, but for them, it's a step in the direction that we eventually want to see them moving toward where Jesus is real in their life. Some of the best actual conversations you can have with people in your life won't have anything to do with faith. But it might be about their workplace, or it might be about the challenges going on in their life. It's the real challenges that they have. And you may not have a scripture and verse to quote in that moment and say, well, in Psalm chapter 3, verse 6, it says. No, if you just be real with people and you journey with them in the ups and downs of their life and the things that actually impact them at a deep level, it's incredible how God uses those opportunities to draw people to himself. So we have a general framework. It's a pathway is the way we call it, of how we want to see people move towards Jesus. And again, people aren't going to go like, you know, step one, step two, step three. It's just a general way of looking at things that help people move in a forwards direction. And it's simple as engage, which is the same as love our community. That's where that language has gone. So engage is love our community. We want to connect with our community. We're running a picnic later today. We may not actually have a lot of people from our community coming this time, but that's something we want to continue to engage and to build and to grow into sense, that we want to engage our community. And we do that by loving them. Then as you engage someone, so someone is a long way from God, they're not ready to come to church yet, but we meet them where they are and we engage them in that place. And we try and encourage them over time to find themselves in places that they can encounter God. People encounter God either through relationships with people or through environments that create opportunities for people to discover God. So engage, bring them into environments or relationships where they can encounter God. And then we equip them. We help people, we help you, equip you for everyday life and everyday faith. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to be breaking these down. So the next 2 weeks, we're going to be looking at engage and what that looks like. Then we're going to spend a couple of weeks looking at encounter and exactly what that looks like. And then we're going to spend a couple of weeks looking at equip and exactly what that looks like and unpacking it and helping you to sort of see what that looks like across the board for this church. But just a couple of things to break down so you get an idea of what it is. Engage. Acts 1 verse 8 says this, that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Very importantly, look at how that verse starts. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. We don't do this in our strength. We do this in the strength of the Holy Spirit. We seek for God to lead us and to guide us into places where we can engage with people in a way that they sense God in and through us. It's not our own wisdom. It's not our own specialness. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit. The way that we have worded this, because I don't know about you, but Jerusalem's not that big on me. Like, I don't go to Jerusalem every week. I don't go to Judea very often. You know, I don't really go to Samaria. That's not my world. What was actually going on when this was spoken? It was Jerusalem was like the city they were in. Judea and Samaria were the larger areas that were kind of in their area. And then obviously the ends of the earth was, well, that's the rest of the world. So for us as a church, we've broken it down to this. Engage the Austin Cove way looks like this. We will build connections with people in South Yandera. That's where we are. That's where we're located. That's the central part of who we are as a church. We will build connections with people in South Yandera, the Shire of Murray, the broader Peel region, and to the ends of the earth. And we'll define our activities to intentionally reach each of these scopes. So we will be incredibly intentional about doing stuff that's local, doing stuff in South Yundurup, in Ravenswood, in Pinjarra, which is all part of the Shire of Murray. And that's going to be where the bulk of our activities are actually aimed at, because that's where we rest, work and play. That's the reality of where we're at. But we also recognize that actually the Peel region works as a bit of a unit in itself. And so we recognize that we have opportunities in the broader Peel area to make a difference. I would love to be supporting churches in the Peel area. I would love to see in the future, and I actually think God would see us in the future being a part of seeing churches birthed in the Peel region. Actually looking at planting and being a part of planting churches within the Peel region and finding ways to support churches that are already going in that space. And the ends of the earth. The scriptures call Christians to look beyond themselves. The scriptures call Christians to be others focused. Next week, we've got Mel Crothers coming back. So she was here a few weeks ago. She led worship. She's also very well connected with Compassion, which is one of the mission agencies that we're looking to support. So next week's sole focus is going to be on how are we as a church moving forward going to make a difference to the ends of the earth? That's all part of our stage of engaging people in our area. And we also want to engage locally. And there's a few things we've set. We've set some goals. We've set some sort of general plans of how we think we will make sure we're doing what God wants us to do. There's a whole book called Numbers in the Old Testament. Numbers are actually important to God. It's not about the numbers. But God does want to see us moving and shaping and making sure that we're not just going through the motions. So one of the ways that we're going to be tracking and sort of getting a sense of are we going about things the way God would have us go about them? In the engaged spaces, what we're looking at is intentional weekly connections. Now, the great thing about an intentional weekly connection is you don't really need to change much of what you're doing now. You just need to make sure you're intentional about it. So we're not going to start a whole lot of programs. That's not our approach as a church. Our approach as a church is actually to be quite simple. We just want to help equip you to be intentional in the spaces you already are. So I've just joined a volleyball group. I've got to go once, thanks to lockdown and then the restrictions that didn't allow it to happen. That's a Wednesday night. I'm really looking forward to getting back into that. I am going to make sure that I am intentionally present when I am there. I'm going to hang out. I'm going to play volleyball. I'm going to spike a few balls and probably miss a few as well. But I'm going to enjoy that space and I'm going to be present as a representative of Jesus in that place. That is an intentional weekly commitment. So that's one. So I've got one. There's a few others as well. So what we're hoping for is by the end of 2025, as a church, the people that call this church home, across the church, we would have 500 intentional weekly connections. So your workplace is an intentional community connection because you probably have people in your workplace, not everyone, but most of you don't work in Christian context. Most of you work in other places. That can be a place that is a intentional community connection because you will be engaging people in your workplace and you will be expressing to them the love and hope of Jesus. Hopefully. We'll see how we go. So that's what an intentional connection is. It's being involved in a group in the community and making sure that there's some kind of intentional connection. Our youth group is an intentional connection. So the teenagers that come along, our youth leaders, that counts obviously. And then the kids who come along, that is an intentional weekly connection. So by the end of this year, we've set ourselves the goal that we would have 200. So that those who are here now, we would have 200 intentional weekly connections. And the way we're going to do this is sort of three or four times across the year. We'll do a survey as part of the service. We'll do a way where you can just let us know. Yeah, you don't have to tell us what it is. You don't have to give more details then. There are three places in my week that I consider to be an intentional community connection. So for me, it's volleyball, and I'm looking at setting some others up, especially once I move into the Ravenswood area. I'm going to actually try and get some things going in that space. So volleyball's one. My workplace, I work here mostly with Christians, but I will also be seeing kids and hanging out in different spaces there. So looking at growing that, I'm actually hoping to see this raise for myself to sort of three or four places that I'm engaged with in any given week that I consider to be an intentional community connection. I'd love you to be thinking about what that might look like for you. What are the places? Do you have bridge club? Do you have, do you go play cards somewhere? Are you involved in some kind of, place like that? Where are you intentionally connected in your local community? We also want to engage globally. So we want to engage locally. We want to engage globally. And so the words we've got for this are invest and transform. So engage locally. We want to connect with people and then invite them, not just invite them to church, invite them into our life, invite them into a step, invite them into an environment or a place where they can get to know Jesus. But we also want to engage globally. We want to invest and transform. And one of the ways we're going to do this moving forward is we're actually actually going to be incredibly focused. We're going to be incredibly focused on what we do. Rather than doing lots of things, we're going to do six. We're going to do six things moving forward, and I'll cover those over the next few weeks. But one of the areas that we're going to be very particularly focused on is actually partnering with Compassion Australia. Now, Compassion Australia, they're a sponsor child organisation. And so one of the things we're actually hoping to do, and so you'll hear more about this next week, is by the end of this year, we would love to have 20 kids sponsored by people in this church. So it's not going to be that you pay the church and the church pays the people. We'll actually be looking to facilitate it so you yourself can individually or as a couple or maybe as a small group or however that works, look at taking on a sponsor child. And again, I will talk more to this next week because that's where we're going to unpack more of what this actually looks like. But we're looking to have six key places that we invest, two locally, two nationally, two globally. Doesn't mean that individually you won't have your own places, your own groups, your own connections. But what can often happen is churches get drowned in opportunity. There's so much that can be done. And because there's so much, we get caught and not able to do anything. By the end of 2025, we'd love to have 50 children sponsored by people who call this church home. We'd love to have 50 people engaged in that space by the end of 2025. What's this look like? So we're looking at encounter. John chapter 4 verse 42 says this. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves and we know that this man really is the Saviour of the world." They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. We've now heard for ourselves and we know that this man really is the Saviour of the world." I don't know if you've ever had some friends that you've talked with them about Jesus for a long time and you've made as iron tight a case as you possibly could that they just need to believe in Jesus and it all makes sense and you talk with them and you're like, why aren't they getting this? And then all of a sudden they come to you and they go, "I'm a Christian." And you're like, finally, it took you long enough. But here's the thing. You cannot argue someone into the kingdom of God. You cannot argue someone into Christianity. You can talk about it. You can represent him. You can be there. You cannot make someone follow Jesus. If I was to ask you right now, I'm sure you could name names of some really close family or friends that you just desperately wish would come to know Jesus. You have done everything you think you could possibly do for them to come to know Jesus, and they just don't know him yet. That's the reality. We cannot, as a church, make anybody follow Jesus. So that's not actually our call. Our call is not to make them follow him. Our call is to share all that we can, to express and to enable opportunities for God to move in our midst. And the two main places that God does that is he does it through relationship. He does it through you just pestering that person, just prodding them in the side every now and then something comes up and prod them. Relationships. Over time, God uses relationships to encounter people. And he does it through environments, by having people come to our Sunday services, by getting and running alpha programs and having people come into those places, by creating other opportunities for people to discover and encounter God. We cannot and we will not ever make somebody follow Jesus. Our goal is to create spaces where they themselves may encounter God and say, "Hey, I met Jesus and now I'm a Christian." It's like, I could have told you that 5 years ago. Like, what happened? Imagine what we could have done for that 5 years if you just did it back then. That's okay. Encounters with Jesus. See, the way that we do this, the way that we're expressing this, is we desire to see people encounter God in transformative ways. If someone actually meets Jesus, it transforms you. It might take time. It might take the rest of your life. But it changes things. Encounters with God are fostered through relationships and environments. We can't force someone to encounter God, but we can play a role in encouraging them by helping our people, that's you, develop intentional relationships with those within their sphere of influence. So that's everyone that you connect with, everyone who's in your life, everyone who's in your world. We as a church can help you develop intentional relationships in that space. We ourselves can develop intentional environments. We can be really focused on the kind of things that we do as a church, the kind of programs that we run, the kind of spaces that we make available. We can be incredibly intentional about doing that. We can champion faith commitment, baptism, and significant ongoing life change. We can really make sure that they're things that are at the heart of what we do. Seeing people make a faith commitment, seeing people take the step of baptism, and seeing them have significant ongoing life change. And so what we're looking to have happen here, and these are probably the hardest goals that we've got, because it actually, this doesn't happen every week. I know in some churches that's more common than others. But by the end of 2025, we would love to have 50 first-time commitments and baptisms or other significant life change. So that you might have one person who becomes a Christian, then gets baptized, then has some sort of significant life change. Yes, that would count as three things, because there are people who become a Christian but don't get baptized, and that's not a step that they take, and we actually think that's an important step. Or we'll have people who join us and get baptized, and that's kind of it. They kind of go, yeah, all right, I'm there now, so I just sort of stop there. Now, we want to make sure that we're encouraging people to grow and strive in that space. What is significant life change? We will wrestle with that over time. Where it sits at the moment is as a board, when something comes up that's sort of a story that we think, you know what, that person was doing this and now they're doing that, there's clearly something significant that's gone on in their life, we'll sort of look at what that looks like. It's not as clear cut as the other two, but that's okay. We'll worry about that. This year, we would love to see 10 first-time commitments or baptisms or significant life change. That is a big goal, just being honest. Like 10 is actually a big number. We might see 10 people join the church across the year, but 10 first-time commitments, baptisms, and other significant life change will only happen if God's actually involved in that space. We don't use these to say at the end of the year, oh, we didn't make it, that's it, or we failed. No, we use this to make sure that it keeps us focused, it keeps us intentional. We can get to the end of the year and go, we wanted to get 10, we had 3. All right, what does that tell us? Are we missing something? Is there something that we can do as a church, or is that God saying to us, yeah, it's okay, three's all I had for you this year. That's all right. There's not actually on you. But that's part of what you do with this is it's not about it being a pass mark. It's actually about helping us as a church be intentional about doing the things God is calling us to do. And then finally, we're looking at what equip looks like. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13 says this. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Equip the Austin Cove way is this. A transformed follower of Jesus will make a positive impact in the world. Part of our role as a church is to help train and equip followers of Jesus for this purpose. If we have a church full of people that are on fire for God, if we have a church full of people that we're sort of working with them to help them work through their own stuff, because, you know, we all have stuff. I've got stuff, you've got stuff. In case you weren't aware, go home and ask God for what your stuff is. We've all got stuff. If we're actually going to be the church God is calling us to be, we're going to help you work through your stuff so that as you are transformed with that, you will make a positive difference in this world. Because that's what God's calling us to be as followers of Jesus. So that's part of our role as a church, is to help you do that so we can equip you and train you to send you out to make a difference in this world. There are four main environments that we do as a church to try and keep things simple, where a lot of this takes place. And a lot of it's organic. Some of the best transformation actually happens organically over time. But it's up to you to put yourself in these places. One of them is to have some kind of personal time with God. The recommendation is daily, but different people have different ways. What does this look like? Ask 5 Christians and you'll get 5 answers. Now, there is no right way of doing this. But our goal is to help you find a way that works for you in this season. And then in next season, when things change, help you find a way that works for that season as well. I mean, at the moment, I'm completely reworking what my time looks like. I can't tell you what it looks like yet because I haven't actually landed on something that's working for me at the moment. Things have shifted in the way that I do my week and my life, and so I'm actually still trying to work this out for myself. This is a work in progress. This will always be a work in progress for those who follow Jesus. Another one is that we have a weekly communal gathering. We have this space that we put together, and we come together on a Sunday morning. And as much as it's up to us, it's not always possible, but as much as it's up to us, we try and prioritize this space. We actually don't want to be like all the other churches that have attendance of once every 4 to 6 weeks. And I'll tell you why we don't want that. You will not grow in your faith if you're actually only gathering in this context once every 4 to 6 weeks. It's just not going to be conducive to the life change that God wants you to have in your life. There's a reason why the early church was gathering together on a weekly basis. There's something about that weekly gathering space that God uses to set us up to make a difference in our life. Now, it will not always be the case. Don't come to me and apologize because you miss a Sunday. That's not what I'm looking for here. I'll get very tired of that very quickly. It's actually about you going, now, this is a priority for me. So as much as it's up to me, I'll make it possible to be there. We also believe in life on life spaces, actually doing life together outside of this context. I don't have a personal conversation with you every week you're here, and you don't have a personal conversation with everyone else every week that you're here. What we do, we call these life groups. That's our way of doing things. That's the Austin Cove way. I think fortnightly's fine for that. Some churches do weekly. That's how they do it. I find people get busy, and actually fortnightly is a much easier rhythm. The only downside to fortnightly is if you miss one, well, then you're only there once a month, and that, you know, that starts to get a bit more challenging. But generally speaking, our life group rhythm is fortnightly, and we would encourage moving forward that everybody who calls this church home would be in a life group. It is an important part of the Austin Cove way. Now, because it's an important part, we try and make this as easy as we can. So our worship practice that gathers together, they actually do meet most Wednesdays. We don't want them to have to come out 2 times in the week, so we make sure that that space also follows some of that. We make it possible for you to do this with 2 or 3 people. You can do this with 10 people. There are so many ways that this can happen. The important thing is not the exact system and structure. It's that you are in spaces on a regular basis, talking about the things that matter in life, living life on life. And then finally, we have ongoing training, the equip session that's coming up, looking at teaching and training around sharing your faith and testimony. We run some of those across the year that have more specialized training to help you be equipped in your life and faith. We want to equip you for life. We want to equip you for faith. They don't have to be different things, but the reality is that the issues that go on in life, oftentimes you don't feel how faith connects with it there. So it's really important for us as a church to equip you to be the best worker you can be, to be the best spouse you can be, the best child you can be, to be the best friend you can be, and also be the best follower of Jesus that you can be. So by the end of 2025, this is the one that we're probably going to need to do some work on. So our metrics, our things we're going to measure over time, it's actually going to take a bit of work. It's going to be something we're going to have to think about because actually someone just being a part of a church doesn't actually mean they grow in faith. There are people who've been a part of church for 20 or 30 years and they're no further progressed. But as a starting point, we are using that as one of the ways we measure things. And so we have a thing called My Congregation. It's a determination of who we believe calls this church home. One of the main ways we sort of track that is if you haven't come along on a Sunday for 6 months, well, we start to wonder if you do think this church is home, because if you're actually not engaging in the life of the church, the reality is you probably don't actually see it as much of a place. And so we measure this as someone who comes once every 8 weeks at least, as a minimum, potentially calls the church home, and we sort of work through with that. And so we want to have, by the end of this year, we'd love to have 80 people who call the church home. At the moment, we have about 60. So, yes, we have about 25 to 40 people who come on any given Sunday, and that's made up of about 60 different people who come along from time to time in that space. So we'd love to see that, because we're praying this year for between 5 and 10 families to join us, because we know that that's what we need as a church to move forward. By the end of 2025, we'd love to see 150. That's actually about where this church was just 2 years ago. So about 2 years ago, 2017, 2018, there was about 150 different people who called the church home. And for a myriad of reasons, obviously that's changed in the last couple of years. But our goal and what we believe God is calling us to in this next season is that that is going to be a part of the future that he has for us. And then finally, I'm going to whip through these four things. There's four key areas that we want to focus on in the next 3 to 5 years. One is that we want to embed our discipleship framework. So that's the engage, encounter, equip. We want to embed that in everything that we do. Here's a very quick example. My sermons actually follow engage, encounter, equip. I always start the messages with some kind of question or some kind of point that would hopefully connect with you. That's sort of something that you might be asking or a question that you might be wrestling with or something that's important in your life. We then move to, what does the scripture say? What does God sort of say about this? How can we encounter God in this space? And then finally, I look at, what does this mean for your life? How can you actually equip you? How can you action this in your world? You're going to be watching this now as you listen to my sermons over the next few weeks. Oh, which section are we in now? Are we in the engage section or the encounter section? But that's the level. We actually want to put this through everywhere. We've just changed our chart of accounts, our books for those who are accountants here, to fit this metal. We're going to put this through everything because it'll help us be intentional about making disciples. All of these are in your book, so I'm not going to read through the whole lot because you can go home and look at that. We want to build a community center. More than that, we actually believe that's God's something he laid on the hearts of this church. Sarah and Kyle, 5 years ago, there's traces of where God started to stir in the life of this church to build a community center. As I said a few weeks ago, there's land put aside by the developers. There's a lot of addendums and things, so it's not our land yet, but it's put aside next to the school. So here's the school here. Literally next door, there's 15,000 square meters of land that's ostensibly put aside for us as a church to build a community center. There's a number of metrics we need to meet. There's a number of addendums and there's council regulations and all kinds of stuff. So I can't just say it's our land because it's not. But the developers have got it there and they want it for us and they want us to do this. So one of the things we're hoping to see in the next 3 to 5 years is some significant steps. We won't be in 5 years' time. I don't think that's realistic. But I'd like to think in 5 years' time we'll be much closer and potentially construction may have already started. I think that would be a fair goal. It's probably in 5 years' time we'd like to see construction having started on a community center. We're not building a church because we're the church. We're building a facility that our community can use that will make a difference in the area. We want to expand our digital platform. Everything's digital now. Things are online. We want to expand our digital platform to enable a greater impact both locally and globally to prepare us for the changing landscape around the world. And we want to build relationships with key organizations locally, nationally, and globally to make a greater impact. We don't need to recreate the wheel. We don't need to do things that other people are doing really well. We need to find the people that do it really well and partner with them to do it even better for the glory of God. So there's a bit of an insight of what following Jesus, the Austin Coway, looks like. We want to engage people. So where are you intentionally connected? And could you support a sponsor child? We want to encounter people. What environments are you committed to? What's your daily one look like? What's your Sunday rhythm look like? And how are you making sure that your life is focused in such a way that that's not a big deal every Sunday? You don't get to Sunday and go, I've got to try and fit church in again. No, that's just part of your rhythm. It's just part of what you do. Are you ready to be part of a life group? In March, we'll have a launch. You'll hear more about that soon. And what's ongoing training look like? What relationships do you need to be prioritizing at the moment? And then finally, equip. Where do you need help in your everyday life and everyday faith? Philippians 1:6 says this, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Let's pray and we'll have the team come back up to lead us in our final song. Father, we thank you so much that you birthed this church, that you called this church into existence, that you have a desire and a heart and a passion to see this church become all that you would have it be. And so, Lord, we pray that you would take what we've spoken today, that you would take what we've been putting together. We believe that it is of you. So, Lord, we pray that you would help us to actually pull it together and to really make that be the heart and the bedrock of what we do as a church. Lord, what is of you, may you bless. If there's anything that's not of you, may you remind us and encourage us and help us to see that. Ultimately, Lord, we hope that you are glorified, that your name is lifted high in South Yundurup, the Shire of Murray, the Peel region, and to the ends of the earth, and that people's lives are changed because of what you do in and through us. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.